Well, Glory, I want to jump right into this because I'm telling you, I think you'll be glad you came today. You'll be glad you came today. I want you to just look around for a second. Just look around. And now I want you to look around with different eyes. Not looking at the people that are here, but look at the people that aren't here. Family, Peggy, I know you believe and you are standing. Amen. Let me read something to you. Matthew chapter 16. I'll be reading out of the Amplified, Tim. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, verse 18 out of the Amplified says, "And I tell you, you are Peter." In the Greek, it's Petros, a large piece of rock. And on this rock, a huge rock like Gibraltar, I will build my church. On this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it, or be strong to its detriment, or hold out against it. I had you look around, seeing the people that aren't here, because I believe that the gates of hell are prevailing against some people. I believe the gates of hell are prevailing against some people. I believe there are people that should be here that are not because they've allowed the gates of hell to prevail in their life. Somebody say, I am the church.
Amen.
You're the church. You're the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. But there are people that are allowing the gates of hell to prevail against them. Now turn over to Luke chapter 22. My brother Kelvin stirred some stuff up in me in this morning. I don't know if you'll be happy that he did, but I'm happy that he did. Luke 22. And let's read from verse 31. Out of the Amplified. It says, "Simon, Simon," Peter, he's talking to, "listen." Whenever they repeat something in the Word of God, you better pay attention. And not only did that, but they even put an exclamation point after his name. "Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God, that he might sift all of you like grain. But I have prayed, and especially for you, Peter, that your own faith may not fail. And when you yourself have turned again, strengthen and establish your brethren." Some people are allowing the gates of hell to prevail against them. They're the church. His word says the gates of hell shall not prevail against them, but some are allowing it. Some are being sifted. Some are being sifted. But what does the word say? "I pray that your faith not fail you during that time." And that when you are converted, when you stand on that faith, not only will you have the ability to stand on it, but you're going to encourage your brethren. So when you look around here and you don't see faces, you encourage them. Now, not all of them are out because of... Don't tell Gene I said that the gates of hell are prevailing against him because he's not sitting here, okay? Don't tell Dustin and Wanda that the gates of hell are prevailing against them. They better get in church. No, they're on vacation. Some of us have good reasons not to be here. And I'm not talking about just today. Listen, I'm talking habitually, okay? I'm not talking about here and there. You got something comes up. Listen, we live in a world where we know that tribulations are going to come. And sometimes, yes, they get the best of us, you know. And it may not even be a good reason. But we're out, right? I'm talking about habitually, not here. And this sounds like I'm getting on to people. I don't want to sound like I'm getting on. It's not about their attendance. It's not. It's about what God has for them. It's about people getting in alignment with their assignment, what God has for them. Amen? I just wanted to encourage you in that this morning. God laid that on my heart as Kelvin was sharing some things in class today. And I just saw some things. And so I want to encourage you that you are the church. The gates of hell will not prevail against you. And that when you're being sifted, or you know someone else is being sifted, that their faith not fail them. And as they stand, they'll encourage those around them as well. Amen? Well, glory to God. That was just the start this morning. Just the start. I want to share some things about what's going on with our social media. You know, we've been talking about people getting in alignment with their assignment, haven't we been? I believe Wanda with Operation School Guard, when God put that on her heart, I believe that she is getting in alignment with her assignment, and Missy helping her out with that, and all those that are participating in that prayer initiative. And now Beth Ann is helping us out in the social media realm. I don't know if any of y'all have seen any of the stuff that we've started to put out there, but this is what God said to me about social media. He said that we are going to, and this is bold, but we are going to launch an all-out attack on the kingdom of darkness through social media. Social media, the kingdom of darkness has, they've taken on that, I think, if I can say it like this, as their personal mission to use and utilize. Now, I'm not, there's a lot of good stuff out there. There's a lot of good stuff out there. But I believe there's more bad stuff than there is good sometimes out there. And the young people are drawn to it. It's like a moth to a flame, man. They are drawn to social media. So God laid it on my heart, and we are going to go out in an all-out attack, an assault on the kingdom of darkness through social media. We've started that. I hope that if you're not on social media, that's okay. That's probably a good thing. But for those that are, we want to put encouraging things out there. We've started a series called 20 Seconds of Courage. I'm glad Caleb's here today because it was spawned from his message that he shared that day about 20 seconds of courage, taking 20 seconds of insane courage just to share Jesus with someone. So this is what we're doing. We're putting that out in social media in video form. It's just, I intended it for to be 20 seconds video, but it's turning into about 40 seconds every day. I can't, for some reason, get away from it. But we're going to start sharing that. And Beth Ann just told me this morning, last time I looked, it had like 200 views, and she said it's already up to 500 views. So we want to utilize that platform for the kingdom of God, sharing the kingdom of God. So what we're asking is if you are on any social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we're not so sure about Snapchat yet, that's kind of iffy, but if you're on any of those platforms, first of all, like us, just search CGC Church, and then retweet, repost, comment on something. I don't care even if you don't like it. Comment. I don't care. We need to know. It's fine. It's good. Because when you do that, when you do those things, it's when you retweet or share or make a comment or like or a heart or the down thumb, that's fine too. What it does is it helps get it out there to more people, okay? I don't understand all the workings of it, but I know a little bit to know that it helps get the word out. And that's what we want to do. We want to get the word out. And these videos are not about Christian Growth Center. They're not about Todd. They're going to be about God. They're going to be about Jesus. It's going to be encouraging people. And so we want to do that, and we want your help in that. We do want your help in that because it is an attack on our young people. And we've taken up this gauntlet, if you will, of praying for our young people, for our students. And so I see this as just one more step that we're taking to combat what the kingdom of darkness is doing. Amen? Does that make sense? Praise God. Well, last week I talked a little bit about destiny, right? Envisioning your destiny. Turn over to Revelation chapter 5. I'll just refresh you on the scripture that I referenced last week. Talking about envisioning your destiny. Revelation 5, chapter 5, verse 9.
And I'm going to start down. Well, I'll just read the whole verse there. It says, "And now they sing a new song saying, 'You are worthy. Take the scroll,'" talking about Jesus taking the scroll with the seven seals, "'and to break the seals that are on it. For you were slain, you were sacrificed, and with your blood you purchased men unto God from every tribe and language and people and nation.'" Isn't that good? With his blood, he purchased us. Every tribe, every nation. He's no respecter of persons. No matter where you come from, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, his blood, the blood of Jesus, has purchased you back unto God. And verse 10 says, "And you have made them a kingdom, a royal race, and priests to our God, and they shall reign as kings over the earth." We shall reign. We were created to reign and rule. You know, when God created Adam and placed him in the garden, all he said was, "Tend the garden." He gave him dominion over the entire earth, over the animals, the fish, the creepy things, the things that creep under the earth, the fowl that fly in the air. He gave them dominion over everything. Everything. That was God's plan. He created us to reign and rule. And then I pose the question, you know, how many feel like you're reigning and ruling in life? And this is, you know, some would say, well, that's talking about the kingdom that it will be coming, right? That's talking about heaven. Well, no, if you look at John 10:10, what Jesus came for, what? To give us life and life more abundantly. Abundant life. So it is not just for that future kingdom coming, heaven. It is for right now. Right now, in this earth, we're to rule and reign. We're to have abundant life. Amen?
Amen?
What does that look like to you? You personally, because it's different for all of us. We are all unique beings, unique individuals. God has created us all uniquely. What does that look like to you to be reigning and ruling in life? You need to get a picture of that. Right? That's what Reggie was talking about. You need to get a picture of what that looks like to you. Start speaking to it. For Peggy, reigning and ruling means seeing her family in church, serving God, every one of them. She's got a picture of that. In fact, she used to bring a physical picture of that.
Amen. I still want a picture of you.
We need to get a picture of that, what reigning and ruling in our life means. He wants us to reign in every area of our life. But just like I shared earlier, some are letting the gates of hell prevail against them. And they're not reigning and ruling. Here's the definition of reign. This is one definition. Be the best or most important in a particular area or domain. If you're reigning in life, you are the best or most important thing in a particular area or domain. If you're reigning in life, is your marriage, are you happy in your marriage? Are your children successful? Are you healthy? Are you prosperous? These are just samples. It's not an inclusive list. Are you those things? I mean, look at prosperity, for instance. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are against the prosperity message, we'll call it. Why? I mean, Abraham, Father Abraham, right? He's the father of us all. I don't think we have any Jews in here. Do we have any Jews? Any Jewish descent people in here? No. If we don't have any Jews, I know he's father of the Hebrews, father of the Jewish nation. But I'm not going to go through, you know, we've been grafted in. Let me just say that, you know, us as Gentiles have been grafted in. And we are all now children of Abraham.
Amen.
Children of Abraham. Guess who he was? The richest man in the entire known world at that time, is what some say. Rich in cattle, oxen, sheep. I'm sure there were some donkeys in there. Gold, silver. He was not ashamed. Why should we be? I believe God wants to prosper us. Now, listen, it's The love of money is the root of all evil, okay? You can get over into the love of money, but it's not money itself. And this world requires money to get things done. That's why we receive tithes and offerings, so we can plant seed of the word. So don't be ashamed that you believe that you can be prosperous. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't make apologies for it, excuses. Because I believe that He wants us prosperous so that we can be blessed to be a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
And that's part of reigning in life. Reigning and ruling. Here's the definition of rule. To govern. To exercise ultimate power or authority. To exercise ultimate power or authority. Think about that when we're to be reigning and ruling in life. What does that mean, to exercise ultimate power of authority? Let's take it to Scripture. It means to speak to the sick. Speak to the downtrodden. Speak to the brokenhearted. Speak to your broken heart. Speak to the spirits of Antichrist. Reigning and ruling in this life, abundant life, is reigning and ruling. And we're to speak to these things. We're to govern these things. We're to have authority over these things. I'm telling you, this is all part of what you're seeing going on. I mean, the church has got to rise up. We've talked about it. We say it all the time. It's got to awaken, shaken, and walking in its authority. Walking, ruling and reigning. Walking in its authority. Spirits of it. There are more than, you know, there are more than one spirit of Antichrist. Spirits. And you can speak to them. You can speak to those demon spirits and they do obey you. When you are walking and when you are reigning and ruling, when you are walking in your authority, they will obey you. Remember last week I said it's the same demonic spirits that are in the earth today than when Jesus walked, okay? When He cast them out, they didn't... Some people get in the mind, okay, Jesus spoke to the demon and he just disintegrated like ash in the ground and was no more. No, they're still alive. They're still in the earth today. The very same demon spirits that Jesus spoke to, you need to be speaking to. Because they are trying to influence, they are trying to sift, they're trying to come against the people on this earth. And we are the ones that are supposed to have rule, dominion, authority in this earth. And we need to be using that authority to speak to those demon spirits, to cast them out. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 2 out of the Amplified reads this way. I'm going to go down to 4:10. It says, "By this you may know, perceive, and recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit which acknowledges and confesses the fact that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, actually has become man and has come in the flesh is of God. Has God for its source. And every spirit which does not acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, but would annul, destroy, sever, disunite Him, is not of God, does not proceed from Him. This non-confession is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you heard that it was coming, and now it is already in the world." Verse 4, "Little children, you are of God, you belong to Him, and have already," say already, "defeated and overcome them, the agents of the Antichrist, because He who lives in you is greater, He's mightier than he who is in the world." You have already defeated and overcome these spirits of the Antichrist that would come against you. You've already defeated them because you are in Christ. We can defeat the enemy because of the one that is inside of us. I'm telling you, ruling and reigning, it was his original plan. But it requires some action on our part. It does. It requires some action on our part. 1 Timothy 3:5, you don't have to turn there. I'll just read it. It says, if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? If we can't rule our own house, how are we going to rule and reign in the earth? Right? We have to rule our own house first. And our own house is this house. Of course, if you have family, that is part of your house. Amen? We got to rule this house first. I mean, yeah. How many know Adam didn't rule his house very well? Huh? The Bible said it was Eve that was deceived. But Adam knew what was up. The woman was deceived, but the man knew what was going on when he bowed his knee. That he wasn't ruling his house well. Why? Because God had given him what he was supposed to do. Tend, take care of the garden. He gave him Eve. Tend, take care of her. He knew what was up. So God's plan didn't fail because God failed. It was man that failed. Adam failed. But how many know, praise God, we have an advocate now? That when we make that decision to follow Jesus, our spirit is born anew. He gives us everything that we have to reign and rule in this life is given to us at that point. And then we have an advocate that is, he is ever before the Father interceding on our behalf. See, it's not our strength now. It's the strength of the one inside of us. It's the strength of the one within us. So when you're going out in the world and you're thinking about your 20 seconds of courage, it's not you, it's the one in you. Just release the one that's in you. That's all you got to do. Release the one that's in you. I was going to say release the beast, but that wouldn't be good. We don't want to go there. Let's not equate Jesus to the beast, right? There is a beast. It talks about him in Revelation, and we don't want to equate him there. But you have an advocate. You have one interceding for you before the Father. You have one that can never fail. He can never fail. Even so, there's a spiritual principle that must be followed. I said we have a part, right? We have to do something. There's a spiritual principle that must be followed for you to reign and rule in life. And it's called faith. It's called faith. And for those of you that don't know what faith is, I've got two little girls that are going to explain it to you in this video.
Scripture time! Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. You know what that means? That means even if you can't see something happening, you trust the process and you trust God. Now that's faith.
Yeah, girl, faith is an extra push that says, I don't think I can, I know I can. Mm-hmm. Give it to them, honey.
I know I can, I know I can.
Huh? Listen, this was on Facebook. This is what social media is going to be doing. This is the encouragement that needs to be going out over social media. She said, amen, out of the mouths of babes. She said, even if you can't see something happening, you trust the process and you trust God. Faith. Just imagine. That's what imagining is. When you imagine something that you know in and of yourself you can't accomplish, man, that's faith. That's giving it over to God and saying, God, this is my imagination. Now you show me what I need to do. And that'll come to pass. So that'll come to pass. And then she says, extra push. That says, I don't think I can. I know I can. I don't think I can. I know I can. I don't think I can. I know I can. When I heard that, it reminded me of that old, the little engine that could. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. But then that whistle blows, choo-choo! And you say, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. I think I can, I think I can. Woo-woo! I know I can, I know I can, I know I can. Come on, we got to do that. We got to say, I know I can, right? I know I can. Not you think you can, but you know you can. Chugga, 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 choo, choo. Why? Why do we need to do that? Because you create that image in your mind of who you are in Christ and what the Word says about you. And when you create that image in your mind, then you speak to it. And you say, I know I can, I know I can. I know I can. That new business, I know I can. That promotion at work, I know I can. Being a wonderful parent or grandparent, I know I can. Praying every day, I know I can. Operation School Guard, I'm going to pray. You made a commitment. When you took that manual, that binder, you made a commitment. You made a commitment. You wrote your name down on a list. Therefore, you are accountable to be praying. You said you would pray every day for those students of that school. And when you wake up in the morning and your coffee maker is broken, you don't get that cup of coffee that you normally sit down with and pull your manual out to pray over. So you're scrambling around trying to find caffeine and all the things in your refrigerator. Does a carrot have caffeine in it? No. What about that apple? No, some sugar. It might help out. Listen. Praying every day. Get that image in your mind. Commit. You know? Set it. Settle it. Settle it in your mind. That you're going to do that. Pray every day. And you say, I know I can. I know I can. Amen? Receiving healing in your body? You need healing in your body? You just think of that little engine. Just say, I know I can. Faith says, I know I can. I know I can. All hell breaking loose in your life, in your family, at your house. You go back to the Word and says, the gates of hell shall not prevail. I know I can. I know I will prevail. Sharing Jesus with someone? Come on, that's a big one. I know I can. I know I can. I know I can. Huh? Y'all need some extra steam for that one, don't you? Pour on the coal. Come on. Load up Thomas. Let's hear that whistle. Y'all don't even know what I'm talking about, do you? Huh? Okay. Oh, Lord. What is this? What does all this have to do with envisioning your destiny? Well, because reigning and ruling is your destiny. That is your destiny, to reign and rule in this life. You have to see yourself victorious in every situation, no matter what the outcome. Because what is the victory that overcomes the world? Even our faith. No matter what you're going through, no matter what situation you're in, you need to have faith. Faith. Amen? What did that little girl say? She said, even if you can't see something happening, you trust the process, you trust God.
Faith is that extra push that says, I don't think I can. I know I can. Faith in what? Well, I'd say it's pretty simple. And the Word says, if you have faith that Jesus is the Son of God, that's enough. And that He, the greater one, lives in you. That's enough. Making all things possible to him that believes. That's enough. Isn't it? I'm telling you, church, it's winning time. It is winning time. It is winning time. It is winning time. And we, the church, say, I am the church. You are the church, right? Not these four walls. You are the living church of God. When you gave your life to Jesus, He came to dwell on the inside of you. You house the very same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That power resides inside this earthen vessel. We don't understand that, man. Oh, gosh. We don't have revelation of that. Because if we did, we'd be reigning and ruling every day. We'd be living in the abundant life. And I'm not saying abundant life and reigning and ruling is a life of privilege. No, in fact, the Word of God says it's the exact opposite. You're to serve. Who are you serving? You're serving the harvest. You're laying down your life for the harvest. Your brother and sister, yes. But for the harvest. We need to get back to winning. Winning in life means reigning and ruling. It means exercising the ultimate power or authority. We need to exercise that power and authority that was given unto us. Right? Adam gave it away, but Jesus got it back for us. And if we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then we have that power inside of us to rule and reign, to influence our atmosphere. What do I mean by that? To be the salt of the earth. Kelvin was talking about that this morning. Three things he shared about salt. It's everywhere. We ought to be everywhere. We're the salt of the earth. We ought to be everywhere. Right? Salt preserves. Right? It preserves. We should be preserving ourselves. I mean, there's salt in your body. Did you know that? Salt in your body. Salt is everywhere. It preserves. It's everywhere. It cleanses. We didn't talk about that, but it cleanses. My mind escapes me. What was the third one? Designed to make you thirsty. Thank you. Designed to make you thirsty. Anybody ever taken in a lot of salt? How many like to salt their foods? I remember my dad, my goodness. I think he'd go through a shaker of salt a week. He would salt everything. Taught me how to salt my cantaloupe. Now that's pretty good. It makes you thirsty. Y'all ever put salt on a snail? Huh? You mean thing, you. I'm calling PETA on you. Shrivels that thing up. Takes all the moisture out of it. Salt makes you thirsty. And so Kelvin was sharing this morning. He said we should be making people thirsty for what we have. If we're the salt of the earth, they should be thirsting after what we have. Right? Not after us, but after Jesus inside. What did he say to the woman at the well? Oh, you wouldn't need to draw this water. You come take of me. This is the living water.
We should be making people thirsty for that living water that is flowing from our bellies. We're the salt of the earth. We should be the best, most important. We should be reigning, which means the best or most important in a particular area or domain. And again, not as a life of privilege, as a thing of privilege that we lord it over someone. We're not talking about reigning in that way. We're not, you know, when you think of reigning, you think of a natural king or queen over a country. And especially in times past, they would reign and lord their rule over all those underneath of them. Right? But what did Jesus say to the disciples that were having a contention among themselves, thinking, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Oh, is it going to be you? Who is going to be the greatest? They were actually doing this. Yeah. What did he say? The last shall be first and the first shall be last. He came not to be served, but to serve. Are we to be like Jesus? Then we have come to serve and not be served. Amen? Amen. Servants of the Most High. So that's what we are trying to do with this social media campaign. It's not, the message hasn't changed. We'll keep saying this. We'll keep reiterating this. We are not changing this gospel. We are not introducing new principles or anything that is contrary to this gospel, but we are using new methods to communicate it. And if we don't, listen, if we don't, we're just going to be brushed by the wayside. We have to embrace change. We do. We have to embrace change. So I know that, I'm not even going to look at the comments because I'm sure they'll be, oh man, who does he think he is putting his face out there? Well, somebody's got to do it. Huh? If not me, then who? I hope it's you. I hope every one of you get to your phone and start posting things about Jesus. Huh? It's just what we need to do. So I just want to encourage you today. One, get a vision for your destiny. Envision that. Start to envision that. You know, the enemy will come up with so much stuff to come against us to keep us from imagining, to keep us from getting that vision, that envisioning our destiny, which is to reign and rule, to have an abundant life. He gets us so off our focus, you know. I mean, we're to be the salt and light of the earth. How many, when you go into the grocery store and you got 100 items you got to pick up and you got 5 minutes to do it, you don't feel like being the salt and light of the earth? But this is what we need to be. This is what we need to do. This need to be on our mind continually. Continually. And why? I know, listen, you got to renew your mind daily. Daily to do this. You know, it's not this one thing you got and now you've got it the rest of your life. The Bible says we got to renew our minds daily. Daily. Because don't we want that? I mean, don't we want to see the kingdom of God flourish in the earth? Don't we want to see our family saved, born again, serving God? Don't we want to see our personal good friends, you know, not going to hell but to heaven? Then there's some things we have to do. We can't just stand by and just expect it. We have a role to play. We have things to do. And it's different for each one of us. Right? Amen? Just because I'm posting a video on Facebook about Jesus doesn't mean that's how you're to do it. You got to get in alignment with your assignment and how God wants you to walk it out in this earth. It may be just to talk to one person. I don't know. It may be to, I don't know. I'm not putting any limits or giving. But you got to get with God. You personally. Get with God. Find out what that is. And do it. Just do it. I'm taking that slogan back. It don't belong to that mega company. It belongs to God. Just do it. Just do it. Just start. I'm telling you, if you will just start, if you will just put one foot out, step out in faith. Right? Just one. That's what we're doing with Operation School Guard. We've just put one foot out and we want to see where God will place the next foot. And then place the next foot. That's how we're... I didn't want to start videoing stuff. I'm telling you, I fought it. I knew we needed to do it for years, 2 years. I fought it. I don't want to do that. I didn't want to do that. But you just put that one foot out. He's looking for people that will trust him, that will step out in faith, that will be obedient. And we don't have to have all the answers. Listen, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be a scriptural scholar and memorize every verse in the Bible to share Jesus with someone. You don't have to be be anxious about not knowing how to reply to a question. You don't need to be anxious about that. Because why? You're just sharing your heart. Just share your heart. If you don't know something, that's okay. It's okay. Be honest. Remember what I shared about those things that were surprising about unbelievers or unchurched? They just want a sincere relationship with someone. They want conversation with someone. I don't think they're expecting us to have all the answers. But they just want to, you know, discuss. Talk about it. Amen. Reigning and ruling. Envision yourself reigning and ruling in life. Exercise that power and authority that was given to you. Exercise your power and authority. Renew your mind to it every day. Every day. Every day. Encourage yourself every day. Every day in the Word of God. So that you can be the salt and light of the earth. So that people will look at you and see something different. And then they'll want what you have. They'll want it. They'll want it. And they'll come to you. They'll seek you out. And remember, I don't know if you remember, this was shared, I don't know, some time ago. About the season that we are in this earth, I believe, and where the church is and the state of the harvest and how I believe that the harvest will be seeking you out. And that's what we're talking about, them seeing something in you, seeking you out, and then it will be easy to share your faith. We said it would be easy to share your faith. It wouldn't be hard. So you get a vision of that in your head. It'll be easy. When someone asks me a question, it'll be easy for me to share my faith with them. Or if I see something that needs to be addressed in someone's life, it'll be easy for me to share that in their life. Because it's winning time. It's time for the church to stand up and take its rightful place, its place of authority, its place of dominion in this earth. We need to do it, church. We need to do it. We need to do it now. And sometimes all it takes is 20 seconds, right, Caleb? Just 20 seconds. That's a start. That's that first step. That's that first step. I'm telling you, if you'll just give him 20 seconds with that first step, oh, just the places he'll take you. I'm talking about the Spirit. Just give him that first step. No matter what it is. No matter what it is. Like I said, new business, promotion, time with God, prayer time, telling someone about Jesus, family, wayward family members, whatever it is, just give them that first step. He's faithful and true. And He loves you. Don't ever forget how much God loves you. He loves you. He don't want you to fail. He doesn't want you to fail. He loves you too much to see you fail. He wants you to get revelation of the one that's inside of you that can never fail. And once you have revelation of that one inside of you, you can never fail. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what your life looks like. I don't care how bad it is. You can never fail if you have revelation of the one inside of you. You can never fail. What did Pastor Rob say all the time? Me be defeated? Impossible. It's impossible. And He can say that. He can stand on that word. You can stand on that word. You can stand on it. It is true. It is real. It is something that is real. It can be impossible for you to be defeated. Amen? Well, Father, I just thank You. Lord, I thank You that today You've given us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And not only have we heard it, Lord, but I believe that it has dropped into good ground. That You are quickening it to us, making it alive to us, making it real to us individually, uniquely individual for each one of us. And Lord, that You are establishing Your kingdom in this earth. And I know that You're doing it through us, Your ambassadors. And as we continue to stand firm, as we continue to grow in righteousness, as faith is sown, Lord, we will be obedient to do what Your word says. We will be obedient to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to share our testimony. And we know that we are overcomers. We are victorious. And we do have faith because we do believe in Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One and His anointing, the firstborn, our Redeemer, King of kings and Lord of lords. He is all of that and more. Amen.